I'm Nate Burgess.
I'm Phil DeLuca.
And we are Commanderin. Thanks for listening. We put a spotlight on community issues, but never, ever talk about four banned topics: religion, politics, Hearthstone, and hip-hop. We want to remind everyone to visit patreon.com/commanderinmtg. Listeners are our only sponsors, and the only way we can keep doing this is with donations from folks like you. If you donate a buck a show, it helps immensely. And if you donate $10 per show, you're crazy. But you can also join our exclusive Facebook chat group. Patroni there also get to contribute to show plans, and they get sneak peeks and sometimes even exclusive content. Don't forget to visit our YouTube channel. Hunter Pruitt and Bradford Heron, both super patrons, bring you videos each week, now with cards and other images. Thanks, guys. This week, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. We're talking about developing Modern Masters 2017. To do that, we brought an expert. Adam Prosak is a former Pro Tour player, and he works at Wizards of the Coast. And he was the lead developer on Modern Masters 2017. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how's it going? That was a wonderful intro.
That really was.
All right. It's good to have you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So tell us a bit about yourself.
All right. So I'll start from now and go backwards, I guess. I've been working at Wizards for about 3.5 years now. And most of my work comes with the FFL, so Testing Future Standard. But I also work on a bunch of different sets as well. Including I was the lead developer on both Eternal Masters and now Modern Masters 2017.
Wow.
A master developer.
Yeah. And then going backwards, I've done writing for a bunch of websites, mostly Star City Games, did some commentary for them, played in a lot of tournaments. And then I learned to play when I was 12, so that's a really long time ago.
Whoa.
So I've been playing over half my life, but only not all of it. I played for many, many years without even knowing that they had Magic tournaments or that Magic stores even existed. Yeah, I've been playing Magic in a lot of different capacities for a very long time.
And then you realized you could get a job doing it.
Yes. And it's the best job in the world, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Awesome. So what's the biggest change in the past 3.5 years since you started?
Well, on my first day at Wizards, you get, like, I look through all the future stuff. Because I got a whole bunch of stuff to catch on that, like, we're working on it, but they haven't released. And I'm just like, first thing that, so I was like, okay, Adam, here's the deal. There's going to be no more core sets. And the fetch lands are in Cons of Tarkir. That was like... And I'm like, okay, why aren't we doing core sets? It's like, oh, we have this new, like, 2 blocks a year model, and they each have 2 sets, so that doesn't leave room for a core set. That was like the bomb that was dropped on me on my first day at Wizards.
Did you spend the rest of the day, like, writing a resignation letter?
No, their days... It takes a while to get used to, like, at any point, like, the gap between, like, what is publicly known and what we're working on is so massive, and things change so much. It feels like that a new bomb is being dropped, like, every day. That's not quite true, but living in the future is very strange.
So you're, like, standing in an ice floe and managing the constant flux of the situation. How many spreadsheets do you use to keep track of all of that?
There's a lot of spreadsheet work.
what is your daily life at Wizards now?
My main role is with the Future League. So I playtest Standard. I work to kind of get Future Standard environments to be as awesome as they can be and work on like card designs that are mainly aimed at Standard. I also work on a variety of sets. So sets that I've worked on that I've released, Oath of the Gatewatch, Aether Revolt, and the upcoming Hour of Devastation.
Wow. All right. Do you have a Magic the Gathering Online account?
I do. I played a lot of Magic Online prior to Wizards. In fact, the first draft I did was the... If you did the Magic Online beta for 1.0, they gave you a free draft. I did one of the first drafts on Magic Online live ever.
Wow.
And I've been playing Magic Online a ton since.
Someone told us you have an interesting name.
I use a Wizards account now. But yeah, my Magic Online name for a decade was I Hate Pants. Based on a Simpsons episode from like when I was like 13 or whatever.
All right.
And making internet, gaining an internet identity in the 90s was not easy. Especially when you're just like some stupid teenager.
Why is that? What do you mean?
It's like, what's an internet handle? Like, I'm like, handles are on like teapots and stuff, right? Or like door handles? Like I don't get it. Like, what am I supposed to do? It's like, oh, just like some name to identify yourself with. Well, I don't know. And then I was watching a Simpsons episode. It's like, hey Krusty, don't you hate pants? I'm like, yeah, I hate pants. And
me too.
And the legend was born.
And I will base my core identity around that fact.
Exactly, exactly. Now you get it. Now you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, our listeners don't realize that none of us are wearing pants right now.
I actually am.
Oh.
Hate to spoil it for you.
Guess I gotta go put some clothes on.
So exactly how far in the future are you living?
In my day-to-day life, I live in the present, but in the magic world, I live anywhere between, 6 months and I'd say 2 years.
Wow.
Like, I'm working on some 2019 stuff, and I live more in the present than some other people, like the story team. Or, like, Mark Rosewater's team. They live even farther in the future. They have to work on stuff much farther downstream. But I work more on the tail end of things. Obviously not the last thing. That's, people that are doing stuff on, like, Amonkhet right now. I'm done with Amonkhet.
Yeah, done with Amonkhet.
That's so last year for you.
Right. Literally so last year.
All right.
What's the name of the fall set?
I don't think we've announced that.
Oh, man.
Damn it.
Yeah.
We got to try. Sorry, Adam.
I can't tell you.
But can you?
It would change the timeline.
That's true. It will. Yeah, it'll be a drastic change for at least one of the participants of this conversation.
Right? Remember, 5 minutes ago when I said, I love my job, I have the best job in the world.
Yeah.
I'd love to keep it that way.
None of that stuff out of you, Phil.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get into the meat of developing Modern Masters 2017, let's go into some shameless self-promotion.
I love shameless self-promotion.
So what's in our news section here? Yeah, we did a preview card. We had a song for it. We sent you the link, Adam, so you can listen to that.
Yeah, it's a great song.
All right.
He's fast.
Yeah, he's fast at listening. Well, it's only like 2 minutes.
It is.
2 minutes and 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
So depending on schedules on my articles on EDH Rec, you're either looking at Siddhar Kondo of Jamora or Ludovic Necro Alchemist. Some of these partners are more challenging than others to make the primary of the deck.
Which of those are you referring to? Ludovic?
Yeah, Ludovic is it's a different animal.
And no idea when that article goes up, huh?
Well, depends. I don't know when this episode's going up. But my articles are, I think it's stabilized now to every other Tuesday.
Aw. Only once a fortnight? We need more Nate.
Oh, well.
If only you had a weekly outlet for your...
I got to stretch this out. I got, you know, 15 partners to go through. I've already gone through five or six by now.
Yeah.
Can't just finish the partners midsummer and then... Then you got nothing.
What's your next series?
Yeah, that's what I got to figure out.
Well, if only we knew, if only someone participating in this conversation knew whether or not we were getting more partners.
I can't think of anybody that would know that. How would we?
It would have to be someone from the future. A time traveler.
Dude,
with information.
I'm just from the sitting here loving a navigator.
Mm-hmm. Aren't we all? So a reminder to our listeners, we have a deck review group on Facebook that's run by our friend Mason Talley. He is another amazing patron. And we need submissions. Submit your decks there, and people will tell you what's awful about them. Sean Watson, our co-host, maybe he'll wake up in a few, maybe within the next half hour and join us, maybe not. But he is running a GoFundMe for his flight to GP Las Vegas so he can join us all and talk on our microphones and such. And next week on Commanderin, Phil, you going to announce the winners to the contest for the signed Commander deck boxes?
Yeah, we'll announce at least a couple because we're going to give some away at Las Vegas. That's a secret, so don't tell our listeners yet.
Okay.
I won't tell.
Moving on to our minor topic. Adam. You say you play Commander?
I do.
And what commanders do you play?
So I have one deck that I made a Commander deck basically because I thought it'd be easy. So when I find building Commander decks to be like really daunting. Like I always try and like min-max everything. I am very much a Spike. But I... Trying to like min-max everything, and like the commander card pool is so big, so I have to do these very narrow decks that it's just like really easy for me to rattle off like every card I could legitimately play. So my commander is Kozilek the Great Distortion because it's really easy to build when you don't have any colored cards to choose from.
Yeah, that narrows down the pool.
Yeah, and also Kozilek is a card that I had a pretty big hand in designing. I won't say...
Huge hands with scythes.
Not as big as Kozilek's.
Oh.
Kozilek's like a huge, like, I'm like a normal-sized human, like, you know. I'm like 5'9", not that big. But yeah, I really love playing it. It's surprisingly really enjoyable to play a bunch. Like, it has like all these... I gave myself rules, like I don't allow myself to play anything that can make a colored mana. So no Coalition Relics or Gilded Lotuses or anything like that. So it's all colorless. And I have all these like ridiculous cards that you don't think would be strong, but actually like not of this world. Mm-hmm. It's really sweet when like you just like plop down your huge commander.
And such as?
Kozilek, the Great Distortion.
Yeah. Yeah, you said earlier you had fun consuming magic content.
That's Ulamog. Ulamog is a consumer.
Kozilek is the distorter.
Exactly.
Hmm.
And Emrakul. You
don't like Ulamog.
Emrakul's. I do like Ulamog, but there's a couple things, reasons why I built Kozilek instead. First of all, I did not design Ulamog. I did design Kozilek. Second of all, I don't like how easy like Ulamog's cast trigger is more disruptive to the game than I'd like to be, because it's something I want to do a lot. So I want to draw to seven a lot. Like, I want something like that helps me out more than I want to screw with you guys.
Well,
don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I have Ulamog in the 99. But it's not something, like, if I had Ulamog, I would just do that repeatedly.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, man, I don't have anything to blow up. Also, the exile mill.
Yeah.
Can be, one of my friends has a, the Origins Jace Vryn's Prodigy. That's his commander. And it's a mill deck. And just, like... basically, he only wins games when he Ulamogs multiple people. He's like, mill you for 20.
Yeah. I like it. It's one of my favorite cards.
Yeah. Which one, Jace or Ulamog?
You don't like messing with people, you said, but Kozilek will counter their spells.
Yeah, only if I don't like them.
Yeah,
it's like, it's the best game, like, Kozilek lets me play the best game of Mother May I. And, like, somebody casts a spell, it's like, Adam, may I cast this spell? May it resolve? I'm like, I don't know. Depends on how, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, declare those targets.
Yeah.
Are you going to GP Las Vegas?
I am.
Excellent. Excellent.
I will bring my Kozilek deck.
Yes, please.
I'm also thinking about building a SRAM commander deck.
Okay.
I have a list for it. I haven't put it all together or played or anything, so I don't know if I'm going to do it. But it's basically has, like, you know, 6 creatures, 50 equipment, and some lands. Equipment / auras. So,
listeners, get your Vandal Blast ready.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it's a little too all in for me. Like, it's not fun for the long back and forth games that I like to play of Commander. But yeah, that's another deck that's just like, oh, I could just do a Gatherer Search for every, you know, 0/1/2 mana equipment, and then every 0/1/2 mana aura. Although there aren't any 0 mana auras. But
sounds like an oversight.
Yeah, well, auras usually have like a color on them, and then that requires you to cost at least 1 mana. We could figure it out, but I don't know if there are any.
Not in the present, anyway.
Yes, indeed, not in the present. You wouldn't be the first wizard who worked on a Magic set and who created a card just for one of their commander decks.
That's true. Yeah, I don't really think about Commander too much when working on sets that I'm working on. We have plenty of people that do that. Unless it's like a legendary creature that I'm trying to make work for Standard. Like, for example, like Kozilek, I was like, oh, this might be a fun Standard card. And it turned out to be I did not design it to be my new Commander. It was like, I want an awesome Commander.
Did you have anything to do with Hope of Ghirapur?
Yeah.
Speaking of awesome commanders.
That is... So we worked on that, like, we wanted that to be, like, a standard card that's, like, you know, help disrupt your opponent, give you a cheap 1-mana creature for your artifact decks. And we thought that might be, you know, either a standard player or even... potentially older format, like in a Xanted Swarm type capacity. It being legendary, we all thought it was like super weird. Like, obviously, it's a legendary ship, but it, the thought of it being your commander is super weird.
We've named this torpedo. It's legendary.
Right. Yeah, and it, like the thing about it is you can't even play like, all right, say you wanted to build a Hope of Gearport commander deck. The first card I think of is not even legal in the Hope of Gearport commander deck. It's like, oh, Cranial Plating is so awesome. It's like, oh, no, that stupid black mana. Why you gotta be ruining my parade?
The times I've said that. Mm.
But you can play it with, like, every single, like, sword or whatever. Like, it'd be a really rough deck. I'm not going to lie to you.
You're recommending Voltron Hope of Gearpur.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Thopter's got four swords.
That's one hell of a Thopter.
Yeah.
It's self-destructive.
You'd think they put, like, guns and cannons and stuff on your ship. Like, but, like, swords are just way stronger.
Yeah. And boots. Got to put boots on your Thopter.
The boots were made for flying.
When do we get ranged combat as part of the main phase?
I can't talk about the future, man.
Oh.
Mm.
Future. Future.
So let's move on to our main topic.
The meat of the show, Nate. The meat.
Nom, nom, nom.
What kind of meat? Steak? Mm.
Chewy.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Wookiee meat.
This is fine steak. Wookiee meat?
Oh, you said chewy. Sorry. Developing Modern Masters 2017. Released March 17th, 2017, of course. There are 24 boosters in each box with an MSRP of $9.99 per booster.
Yep. Yep.
So last week, we talked with Sam Stoddard, who was the lead designer. And he's credited for the initial concept and game design, along with Brian Hawley and Gavin Verhey. But the development, the final game design and development, was led by Adam Prosak.
Who's that?
This guy.
Oh, that's me. Okay.
Along with Brian Hawley, Yoni Skolnick, and Eric Lauer as an advisor.
Mm. What was that like with Eric as the advisor?
Eric is awesome. If you've never, like, one of the coolest things about working at Wizards is just Eric has just, like, this super unique personality. He's just like, if you're intimidated by people that are smarter than you, you probably won't get along with Eric. He's one of the smartest people I know. And he's just hyper rational about literally everything. And it's really entertaining. Like, he'll talk about, like, the happiness of dogs, and he'll break it down. And he'll be like, oh man, dogs are so happy. And this is why, like, oh, they just do everything because they want to, like, eat people food. But, no, Eric is a real joy to work with.
People food. Like Wookiee steaks. So, recently, on the Magic website, you, Adam, revealed to the world that Damnation was being reprinted.
Yeah, finally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, for every set, we usually have a meeting, a preview planning meeting. So you decide, like, okay, you know, which, hey, this commander in podcast, do we want to give a preview card? Yes. Okay, yes. What card? That's the sort of thing we try and decide. And the thing is, Sam and I sit close to each other in the pit, which is like where most of Magic R&D, the designers and developers and editors sit.
And the demons.
Yeah, we don't really have any demons in R&D right at the moment. We're not actually looking to hire any demons either.
Oh, well, okay, never mind.
Does someone take the title Lord of the?
No.
Oh.
If there technically was, I think it would be Aaron Forsythe, but he doesn't really refer to himself as Lord of the Pit.
He should.
How about Pit Boss? Pit Float Mayor.
So Sam and I, we're talking, like, this meeting comes up on our schedule, and we're talking about, dude, what do we do with Damnation? And Sam, I don't know if Sam Sam told you about this. He had the absolute best, most trolly possible preview plan, which is not to preview it. They're just like, oh, all the number crunchers are like, oh, there's a spot for Damnation. And, like, it's never, you know, it just isn't there every time. And it's like, oh. And once when the final card is like, oh, Damnation, what a surprise. Like, no, we decided, like, it's one of the coolest cards in the set. It's been a long time coming. You know, people basically ask for it in every product. You know, preview seasons for literally anything start, and everyone's like, oh, man, I wonder if we're going to get Damnation this time. And then the internet runs memes is like, nah, you know, Damnation wouldn't even be in Damnation Masters. Yeah, so decided to preview it on day one. Well, I'm like, I know somebody who's going to write an article on day one. So I want it. And yeah, so that's how I got it. And also I knew that, like, I could be a little bit trolly with the preview. kind of be more cognizant of all the Damnation memes, so to speak, that have been out there. I really enjoyed seeing the reaction to Damnation. It was awesome. From, like, hey, what are we going to complain about now? that was my favorite thing. It's like, oh, they're going to put it on the land sheet, but there are no basic lands, so it's actually not in the set.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I I thought it was really funny. But yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, it was a long time coming. Like, it was one of the first cards put in the set, like, even before I started working on it, I, like, you know, nudged Sam and be like, hey, Damnation needs to be in the set. Like, no excuses, no, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts. We're not letting it go, like, to the next Masters, you know?
Right, right. It was another perfect opportunity. And truthfully, I mean, I think everybody hoped it would be here, but everybody expected the opportunity to be squandered again.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, it's like, I mean, my article said, like, yeah, there are a bunch of other opportunities, but we have so many moving pieces. A lot of times, like, it's, you know, put in one set, it's like, no, it'd have way more impact in a different product. And it's like, okay, let's put in that product. And then it's like, oh, it's not right for that product. Let's, you know, kick it on down the line. And it was just like the can that kept being kicked down.
Did anybody consider it for a set and then go, nah, next guy's problem?
Not really. We usually don't have a bunch of cards, want to print them in some capacity. It's just like, nobody wants to be like, ah, no, I don't want that awesome card in my set. Everybody's very selfish when it comes to the stuff they worked on. It's like, hey, how do I make my stuff awesome? Not like, oh, here's this awesome thing, I don't want it, somebody else can have it. Like, everybody has a reason, and we try and map it out as, you know, as best as we can. But a lot of times, just like playtesting and, you know, different goals for different sets mean that certain things, like, for example, the art example I gave is like, oh, it makes a lot of sense in From the Vault Annihilation, right? Okay, that's great. It's there, but we can do better. We should do better. Like, if we put it in M15, that would be way sweeter. So we take it out of From the Vault, we put it in M15, and we start, like, playtesting, and then about this time, Theros comes out. And if you know anything about Standard, when Theros came out, the strongest deck was a mono-black Devotion deck.
Yeah.
And, like, Damnation in that, we're just like, we didn't even, like, playtest that much. It's like, oh, if this deck's strong, there's no way we could print Damnation. So we, you know, and that's like the start of getting kicked down. And there are a bunch of other things in that space. You know, we decided not to do 4-mana hard sweepers in Standard. So it's like, okay, now it's got to go in a Master set. by that, you know, that sort of thing. So it gets, it just kind of like, there's always a reason we can't do it. We want to do it. Like, I just thought that, like, yeah, I talked about it for even Eternal Masters, which was my first lead, but like, oh, we decided, no, we want, you know, the bulk of the cards to come from Eternal sets, and so we could put Modern cards in the Modern sets so that each audience can get their, the cards that they want.
So among the set leads, is there a lot of infighting and trying to get certain cards in your set, and backstabbing and political intrigue in the pit?
Yeah.
Say yes.
No. Yeah, so sorry. I mean, there's, so what you call backstabbing and infighting and political intrigue, I call discussion. We do have discussions about where cards should go. Even like new card designs, a lot of times we'll come up with a new card design. I know that what's it? Impetuous Devils. The ball lightning that makes their creature block.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually not designed for Eldritch Moon, but for Oath of the Gatewatch. But at some point, we had, like, a bunch of really sweet red rares that we wanted. Like, you know, you wanted a Surge Dragon. We had Goblin Dark Dwellers that was really, you know, Fall of the Titans. You know, all these cool red cards. It's like, we got to kick one out. Well, crap, all these are awesome. And Eldritch Moon's like, well, we need a red card, a red rare. It's like, okay, take one that doesn't use one of our, you know, mechanics that would make sense in any set. So they took the Impetuous Devils. I actually think that card's really fun. But yeah, that's another example of like how we have discussions. Like, each team works on their own set, but there's often a lot of sharing, and it happens in Limited all the time. Especially when you have a large set and a small set that are trying to work hard to, in the same block, that are trying to work hard to avoid each other's designs. And they work parallel a lot of the time so that, you know, you're working on a large set and a small set at the same time, but you have to dodge each other's designs. So that happens a lot. In terms of, like, you know, high-profile reprints, like Modern Masters, like, we're just like, okay, all the cards that are heavily played in Modern should go in the Modern Masters set. That way, if you're a big fan of Modern, you can go get Modern Masters and you get all cards that you want instead of having to buy, you know, take a little from this and a little from that and a little from that, and then you have, like, each product's not that exciting for you. It's like, if you get all the cards you want in one place, I think that works out better for everybody.
It's a great set.
Yeah, thanks. Do you guys play Modern much, or are you guys mostly Commander players?
Mostly Commander for me.
Yeah,
Commander and some Limited for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what cards in Modern Masters are going into your guys' Commander decks?
Good ones.
They're all good. They're all perfect, perfect Magic cards.
They are. They're beautiful. Each one is beautiful. Well, Nate, how many of your existing decks have Deadeye Navigator?
Actually, I don't play with Deadeye Navigator.
I confess, I only have it in one deck.
Is it Rune?
No, it's not even Rune. I don't. I decided not to paper Rune because, well, Rune. It's in the Mimeoplasm because everybody loves a blinky Mimeoplasm, right?
Don't you just have to exile more and more creatures?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if there are graveyards.
Yeah, that's true. If Nate hasn't already stolen, well, then it's a problem, and you have to figure out how to put them in the graveyard, which is why I have a whole bunch of enchantment and artifact removal spells. Just saying.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah, Nate has a... dare I say, tradition of eliminating graveyards from the game. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I will freely admit to having a Relic of Progenitus and a Phyrexian Furnace in my Commander deck. I might have another one, but I think those are the only two.
Nate's just getting started with those.
Yeah.
Bajuka Bog?
Yeah, I can't do that one.
It generates black.
Oh.
It's got one of those stupid black mana symbols. Yeah. Yeah, colors are rough, man.
Colors are rough.
But no, I have some exiles, some of the processor stuff. Like I have a Blight Herder and an Oblivion Sower in my deck. So I get some of that action.
Yeah.
Combo.
Yeah, Oblivion Sower combos well with a lot of things I do.
Yeah, it does. You know, Oblivion Sower is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Especially in a Damia Landfall deck that mills and exiles graveyards. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Adam, what's the difference between developing standard and a master set?
So there are two major differences between a standard set and a master set. The big one is you can't make new cards. You're stuck with the cards that already exist.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I want this card to be like, you know, this power level, this mana cost, you know, this rarity. I better hope it already exists. If it doesn't exist, it's something I got to work around. And it's actually a big hindrance to doing the all reprint sets. But a lot less work because all you have to do is a bunch of gatherer searches. You don't have to, you know, try and make new cards. So it's a lot less time intensive that way.
Well, do you create a design skeleton?
Yeah, in terms of like, that's usually what the design team. So Sam did the design skeleton. It was like, hey, I want, you know, this many gold cards of each color at each rarity. You know, this many lands. You know, he put in the mana fixing. He put that in his skeleton. Stuff like that. So the other difference, the first difference is you can't make new cards. The second difference is you don't have to care about the sets around you. This is a self-contained product. So like, yeah. I don't have another set to balance a limited with. It's not like Aether Revolt had, you know, it had to piggyback on what Kaladesh was doing. So it had a lot of constraints there and a lot of things to avoid. Also standard, I'm not going to make, other than Pauper, which is defined by rarity, I'm not going to make any new cards modern legal. I'm not going to make any new cards standard legal. So I don't have to play any constructed, which is honestly a ton of effort and, requires a lot. You know, that's what I normally do for most of my time. That's my main job function. But like for this one, for this product, I don't have to worry about, you know, ruining a constructed environment that much. Hmm. So that makes it a lot easier.
So in summary, instead of living in the future, you're living in the past and screw those other sets.
Living in the past is a really good thing. Like a lot of what we're trying to do with Master Set is kind of relive the past. Like, it's very obvious that this master set has like a very Ravnica feel to it, and that was intentional on Sam's part. And when he showed me like what he was working on, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I love the multicolor nature of things. I love, you know, having each set give you like a certain feel, and this one being Ravnica set meant that we got use a lot of really sweet cards. The limited environment is really, really fun in a way that like a normal set wouldn't necessarily let you do. Like for Modern Masters 1, we're just like, oh, you know, whatever color pairs we want to do, and we'll, you know, they'll be on a normal set. This has a very different feel to it, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear me sigh just now. I'm so looking forward to drafting this.
Yeah, so it's funny, like, it's really exciting for me as well. Like, yes, I've drafted it a bunch and, you know, in playtesting, but it's totally different when you have the real cards in your hands.
Yeah.
You know, as of this recording, our employee pre-release is tomorrow.
Oh, man.
And I'm just like, oh, that's going to be so exciting. Like, just having like the real physical cards in your hand, like the fruits of all of our labors. Like it's like it's funny. Like when I'm done with a set, the set's not even close to finish. There's so much work that goes in. You know, I hand over like a card file, like basically a glorified Excel spreadsheet. Like yeah. we use our own card database, but like it's not that far different from, you know, Excel spreadsheet. Like it's very abstract. It's not like you don't see like they don't have this all this amazing art on all the cards. Like a lot of times, like I'm done with a set, and then the new art comes in. Like I, you know,
you ever feel ripped off?
No, it's just how the things are. Like, for example, like Cavern of Souls got new art. I didn't know. I knew that it was getting new art when I was working on it, but yeah. I didn't know what it would look like.
Mm.
And let me tell you, like, Cavern of Souls looks nice.
It does. I guess that's just part of it. When I was saying, when I asked if you ever felt ripped off, I mean, it's like, so I guess you're stickering these? Is that?
More or less, yeah.
And so you're playing with stickers all this time, and then you turn over the card, and then the new art comes in, and you're like, oh, man, I could have been playtesting with this beautiful art this whole time.
Right. And, like, that's the type of thing that makes me, like, really excited to see everything put together. Right, like, when you're working on it, you're working on a very unfinished product.
Yeah.
Which is really fun and really exciting and stuff, but it's just not the same as just like, all right, I don't have to work on anything. I can just like sit here and enjoy it. And this is, you know, so I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm going to draft as much as I can get my hands on.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So from your Damnation article, I thought this was interesting. You suggest 5 multicolor strategies here that are built into the set. There's blue-white blink, blue-black instant control, black-red unearth, red-green go wide, green-white populate. Do those themes come mainly from Sam's side or your side? And how do they get decided?
Yes, yeah, so Sam's side, he definitely hands over... that's a lot of what he hands over. So, in fact, like, this is a really good story. Like, so he handed over 4 of the 5 things that you just rattled off. He handed off blue-black as something else. He handed over as ninjas. And, like, okay, you think ninjas are super sweet until you actually look at the literal ninjas. There's so few of them, especially I think there's like 7 of them that are modern legal
for now.
so it's like that. It's like, okay, I'm stuck using literally the cards you had in the file. And also there was not a lot of overlap between like the colors. So one of the things, if you do a multicolor set, is any two allied, we did allied in this case. So you want any two allied colors or color pairs that overlap a color, you want them to share something strategically. So if you have like, say you have blue black and you have red black, those can't have like clashing strategies or else you'll never draft a Grixis deck. So when we had ninjas, it worked well, almost too well with the blink stuff, because you would like use your ninjas, you would turn your creatures with ETBs and then blink them, and it was like all this, like it was like hyper value town. But then on the other side with Grixis, you had this unearth thing, and if you unearth a thing and then use a ninja, that like actively doesn't work. So we were finding that like nobody was drafting Grixis, for example. So we needed to find something. It's like, okay, we have a hole in blue black. That's kind of what the thing is. Like, we have a blue black hole. Like, what should it do? So on one side you have blue white blink, And then on the other side, you have Black Red on Earth. So what we came up with was kind of like this instant, we call it instant control, but this kind of graveyard, like the key card in this deck is Mystical Teachings. So you have a bunch of stuff that like fills your graveyard. There's Forbidden Alchemy, for example. So you can use some like self-mill stuff to help get more unearthed stuff. So that's why you play Grixis. Like, red-black doesn't self-mill, but blue does. So you get more unearthed stuff if you're Grixis. And then if you're... for Esper, you have blue-white, which is Blink. And that's where you get, like, you often play at instant speed with, like, a lot of value. And, like, I have Mystical Teachings for Momentary Blink. It is awesome. So you have a lot of that where you have the kind of overlap between that and that, you know, kind of, if you look at it, if you go around any two color pair, you know, there's an overlap in strategy. Like, for example, when you're like blue, white, and green, white. So, oh, what do you have? Like, you have these tokens that you want to populate in green, white, but this blink stuff, you don't want to blink a token. So, like, what do you do? So, what there are, the splicers are the answer to that. So, you blink the splicers so you can get more tokens. It's kind of like having extra populate stuff.
Yeah. And it's good to see the splicers reprinted without a Phyrex in Watermark.
Yeah. Sometimes it's super weird to see, like, cards like, oh, it's, like, the same art and same everything. Like, seeing cards in some cards in the M15 frames is a little like jarring. It's like, this looks very different from the card I own.
Right.
Yeah. Still looks good.
That's so he turned over ninjas, and you had to then kind of extract the ninjas and rebuild those color combinations? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, essentially what I did. So whoever the lead designer is and their team is not expected to hand over a full file. There's enough cards or whatever. Instead, they want to lay the groundwork where my job is to execute on their vision. So, like, the things I was, you know, kind of expected to keep in place was, like, if I changed it away from, like, a multicolor set, that would be a problem. That would just be throwing out all the, you know, great work that Sam did.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, changing color pairs is very expected. Like, I was very pleasantly surprised that 4 of the 5 worked so well. Like, I was actually really skeptical of the red-green color pair, which was, like, go wide. I'm like, why would red and green do that? Like, that's white's thing. White has the most creatures. But, like, when you put it all together, like, it was, like, a really good bridge in between Unearth, which had a lot of tokens and a lot of extra attackers, and then green-white, which wanted a lot of tokens and because of populate. So it was actually a really good bridge and played out, you know, really well. There's a lot of, like, individual cards that really make it work. Like, one of the best cards when you're Jund is Kothari Bomber. You know, it's just like a relatively unassuming common. There's a flyer, like, you're gonna get a bunch of extra tokens out of it, and then you use the red and green stuff, like Strength and Numbers plus Kothari Bomber is a really sweet synergy that you only get when you're playing the three colors.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, set's really cool. Like, There's lots of, we made sure there's like lots of different approaches to draft. Like, you can draft two colors and you draft, you know, I'm green and white, I'm going to take all the token makers and all the popular cards, and that's all my deck's going to do. And that's very strong. You have great mana and a really powerful, like, focused strategy. Once you spread out into three colors, you get, you know, I intentionally put in these cards that would overlap. You know, these two colors, like I've explained, like the Strength in Numbers plus Kothari Bomber is a really cool interaction.
Yeah.
that you only get when three colors. And then you can also draft 4 and 5 color decks where there's enough, like, super strong cards. You could just take them all and take a bunch of mana fixing and draft your 5-color paradise deck, basically.
So Sam will hand over, like, some high-level elements, like it has to be a multicolor set, and maybe gives you a partial list of cards?
Yeah, no, so the list is complete, you know, the card file is complete, so I can run a playtest on day one if I want to. I could do that.
And then you rip out the ones that don't work.
Basically.
Mercilessly slaughter those cards.
That's basically my job description.
All right.
Well, yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, R&D is highly iterative. So, like, we'll have a thing that we think might work, and then we'll see if it works. And keep the parts that do work, and rip out the parts that don't work, and replace them with, you know, with other things. So a lot of it is just like kind of, all right, what are we going to do this week? Well, the same thing we did last week, but we're smarter because we've learned a bunch from last week. So we just keep doing like this kind of the same thing over and over and just, you know, incrementing. Slowly take out the, you know, things that aren't working well and replace them with things that do work well.
Right.
Changing the timelines.
You guys are all about this future stuff, man.
What?
Future.
What future stuff?
Talk about the future all the time.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mm. Well, the future is just so interesting. Like, what's the most interesting thing you did today in the future?
I'll let you know when it's the present.
He'll put his answer in a time capsule. That's called a booster box.
Yes.
Buying it in 2 years.
Nate, he's too cunning.
That's how he got the job.
It is.
So speaking of the past, was Khans of Tarkir your first set?
Yeah, so I started at Wizards when Khans of Tarkir was pretty late in development, actually. The set was almost done, but, like, a lot of times when it's, like, when you're first starting at Wizards, it kind of just throw you to the wolves and put you on whatever the large set is at the time. So I got thrown on Khans of Tarkir. Really can't take credit for it because I was very new and didn't know what I was doing, but I had a lot of fun, and I learned a lot that I could use to work on sets like Modern Masters.
So what's your favorite story from that era, the Khans era?
One of the big, like, breakthrough moments in any designer or developer's career is the first time they see something that you worked on a lot come to fruition in the real world, and things just go totally haywire. It's not like, oh, this is what I thought of. That's totally different from what you millions of Magic players thought of. Why didn't I think of that? It's like, well, you're one person and you can't think of everything. You just have to give people the tools to explore whatever they want to explore. And, like, the things you care about in Magic are totally different from the things, you know, some other podcast host thinks about and cares about, which is totally different from what, like, say, my brother thinks about. Like, you know, my brother plays the dual decks, and that's the entirety of his Magic experience. Like, that's a totally different thing. So he just likes the box set of Magic, where, like, it's like, if you ask him to build a deck, he's like, nah, not doing that. Whereas, like, you know, most people is like, that's why they play, like, a format like Commander. It's like, I love deck building. Yeah. I'm just, like, you know, typing in deck lists, you know. You know, I want to sidebar right here. So when I was in high school, in college, I would sit in class, bored out of my mind, and just write down Magic deck lists, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure many of us can relate. Commander wasn't a thing when I was in high school and college. I can't imagine. You would run through so many notebooks writing down 99 cards at a time, or 100 cards at a time. Mm. Dude, that has to be nice. I need to get into the notebook industry.
You'd have entire pages that are themed for one commander.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, it's usually writing down 200 cards, and then you have to cut half
that's
of them.
Yeah, yeah. No, but, like, I just had these, like, 60-card deck lists, and I could even play, like, four copies of a card. I know, really weird.
I have many professional meeting notes with decks written in the margins from the early to mid-90s.
Yeah, that's great. But, like, yeah, back to my original point, like, so... when doing Cons of Tarkir, I thought the strongest deck was this Sultai deck that had this had like Sidisi and Whip of Erebos. But I'm like, wow, the best card in this deck is by far is Night Howler. It's like it makes all my creatures +10/+10, and it's just it makes them kill it twice. It's just a huge BD. And I come out and people are playing that deck, won the world championship. I'm like, dude, where are your Night Howlers? What do you, you got all these, a lot of the same cards, but so I gave you the tools and you just totally didn't use the best one. What's going on? And I realized, as it turns out, world champion deck builders are, a lot better at Magic than I am. So they're just like, I don't need +10/+10 on my guy. I just need a Hornet Queen and a bunch of little Death Touch insects. And that's yep.
Who doesn't?
That's just way better than a 10/10. Just stuff like that is just really cool and really it makes the job worth doing. Just to see what people are doing that you didn't think of. Like, hopefully, if I did my job correctly, Modern Masters 3 Limited will have so much cool stuff that I didn't even think existed. I didn't even think of. Hopefully there are enough open-ended tools that you can piece together your stuff in new and interesting ways that I had no intent to work together. Hopefully that's what really gets me up in the morning.
You must have predicted 5-color decks.
Oh, yeah, I fully expect 5-color decks. But in terms of, what those decks contain...
No 10-10s. Unless it's Ulamog.
Yeah, I'm sure you can make a 10-10 in Modern Masters 3 Limited. I don't know how yet. Looking through everything, but I'm sure you can.
Our listeners will help, I'm sure. So, listeners, if you make a 10-10 in a Modern Masters 3 draft, Modern Masters 2017 draft, be sure to tweet at us. We'll make sure that you already know Adam's Twitter address by then. I wonder how.
And it has to be exactly 10-10.
Exactly 10-10, not
11-11. 11-11 is not going to cut it.
Yeah, it's right out. So when Cons was released, were you like, Siege Rhino?
So we do. There's always, that's another really interesting thing. There's always cards that you think are strong that end up being way stronger than you think about. We played a lot of Abzan, all of the clans played a bunch together. I thought it was really close on if Temur or Abzan was stronger. As it turns out, not even close. That's the strongest clan and the weakest clan. But I thought Savage Knuckleblade was can we make, we debated, can we make this a 4-4? Do we need to make it like a 4-3 or something? And we was like, nope, we can make it, 4-4. And as it turns out, that wasn't even enough. A bunch of other cards, there weren't enough counter spells for Surak to be awesome. 4-4, as it turns out, is a little bit smaller than 4-5.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, so you couldn't do the, play my Savage Knuckleblade, give it haste, attack into your 4-4. That didn't work. that sort of thing. Like, you know, one thing, like, you know, and then you see like the cascading of like relatively late changes. Teemo Charm used to make all of their creatures not block, not just the small creatures. So now, like, they struggle more against the big creature decks, which Abzan was. So, yeah, that sort of thing. Like, yeah, I knew Seedrino was strong. Did I think it would be the most hated card in that standard? No. If I did, I would have, you know. if we knew it, we wouldn't make it. Like, it's always something. It's usually a card that we kind of know is strong, but we don't really properly gauge how strong. And then there's cards just like, you know, totally out of left field or that end up being really good that, you know, we don't see either.
Like Aetherworks Marvel?
Aetherworks Marvel we thought was actually pretty strong. We thought it was, our decks looked pretty similar to the decks at the Cons Pro Tour that were really inconsistent. They were just like, I'm going to play these, you know, these puzzle knots and try and hit an Emrakul in turn four. But if I don't, my deck doesn't do anything. And then the real world, because there's millions of you and dozens of us, kind of worked on, you know, that strategy a bit more. And, you know, by the end of it, by the end of Kaladesh, like, Aetherworks Marvel was this, like, you know, monster of a standard, you know, deck. And that was much stronger than anything we had built. You know, we had built, like, kind of these all-in fragile decks. And thought it was, you know, appropriate. And then, obviously, like, you know, Heart of Kirin's a weird one. Where we thought it was pretty strong, but we didn't think you'd play it over Smuggler's Copter. But then Smuggler's Copter we ended up having to ban. And so Heart of Kirin sees a little bit more play these days.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit. A little bit.
So our podcast has a few traditional questions by now. We will ask you, what is your favorite type of pizza?
Wow. I'm not a huge pizza guy, but when I do, I like basically a meat lovers, I guess. Any pile on the meats, no anchovies, that's not a meat. Even though it technically is. It's what? Not in my book.
Do you ever go for pizza with Sam?
Not really. We're not pizza people. So in the Seattle area, the best food is Asian food, either like
teriyaki.
Teriyaki, Thai food, Indian food, Vietnamese food. That's the best food in Seattle. Like, the American stuff is not good. The Mexican is horrible here because I lived in Phoenix for a while. That's really close to Mexico. They have really great Mexican food there. Not so much up here where, like, you'd think we'd have, like, good Canadian food, for example, because we're close to Canada.
Good Canadian food? What does that mean?
Just poutine, I guess.
Yeah, poutine. Magnifique poutine.
And they have bacon.
Yeah. They have their own kind of bacon.
Their own That's kind true. Of bacon.
It's ham.
Are you pro pineapple on pizza?
Sure.
Pro or against?
Pro okay. pineapple.
Okay, here's a theoretical question. Suppose you get sucked into a dimensional rift and you arrive on a hostile plane, which planeswalker would you choose to save you?
Well, that's a good question. That's totally different from who my favorite planeswalker is.
Yep.
I would choose Nicol Bolas to save me.
Yeah.
He has all the power. He is really powerful.
To save you?
Yeah.
Well, to fix the situation.
I would join Team Nicol Bolas, and he would save me from the situation.
Are you a Grixis player?
Not really. I find that, like, philosophically, I'm is it. Like, I like experimenting, doing, like, all these, like, weird, like, engine-y type things.
Yeah, that's part of Grixis.
Yeah, but I do it with Simic decks. Like, Simic is my favorite color combination to play, even though I don't, like, align with the Simic philosophically. Yeah. Like, I'm not, like, a mutator or, like, build a sweet monster guy. I'm more of a, like, I want to ramp, and then I'm going to draw cards, and the cards I draw is going to be more ramp, and then I'll have more mana to cast more cards, and then...
Why haven't you built a Krufix deck?
I don't know. Because it's too hard for me. Like, there's too many options. I would just get lost. It would take me, like, a year to figure out what cards I want in my deck. Because I'm such a min-maxer.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an iterative process.
Right. I should, like, that's probably the way I would actually go about building a commander. I'd just be like, just whatever. I don't care. Cards I own, put them in a deck. And then when I see a new card that I want, you know, or see somebody else playing a card that I want, I'm like, I want one of those. I'll put it in my deck and figure out what card I should cut. But since every card I ever put in a deck is perfect, I never want to cut any of the cards.
Of course.
And they don't let you play 101 cards in Commander. So.
Nope. Not yet.
Not in the present.
Yeah, dude, it's not in the present.
Dude, I know nothing about the future of Commander. We don't.
He says
decide.
Clearly. Did you hear the tone of his voice change, Nate? Yeah, that's why.
Do we have time to get any patron questions?
To get time? Any?
Do we have any?
Well, first
questions?
We should thank Jackie Miller, Patron Jackie Miller, for the pizza question, which is now a commander in tradition. And
nice. Of
course, Nick Jaragrulski for the Planeswalker question.
He likes gruel.
Yeah. I don't even remember his real last name anymore. It's like Jaragrul? Gruel?
What were your guys' answers to the Planeswalker question?
I also chose Nicol Bolas.
Nice!
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure I chose Ajani, wasn't it?
Ajani's a good choice. he's gonna bring a team. Ajani was one of my options as well. Yeah. Like, you know, he's gonna save you from, like, evil. And, like, he's gonna bring a team and they're gonna work together. Ajani gets stuff done.
Yeah. He's gonna get me out. I'm gonna be okay.
Yeah.
I'm not trading my soul for whatever it is Nicol Bolas is offering.
Well, Nicol Bolas gets stuff done too.
Yeah, he does.
I'm not saying he doesn't get stuff done. He gets stuff done.
Yeah. All you have to do...
Or he gets other people to,
like,
do
stuff.
Like
when he gets that thing done in Amonkhet. What was that thing again?
I forget.
Damn. Oh, he's so good, Nate.
So, Nicol Bolas, like... The thing about Nicol Bolas, like... All you have to do to be happy when Nicol Bolas is around is just align yourself to Nicol Bolas' ideals. That's all you got.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah. If you're just all about Nicol Bolas, then you're good. Like,
yeah,
Tezzeret, he's good.
Yeah. All you have to do is completely adopt his worldview.
Yeah.
But that's not from an inferior position. Yeah, that's not too much.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's almost the end of the show, isn't it, Nate? I haven't even looked ahead. What do you have here?
Oh, my message of the week. That's another tradition on our podcast where sometimes at almost the end of the show, I will choose out a Haiti hate bear card that will counter whatever strategy we just talked about. But since we talked about Modern Masters 2017, I picked a card from that set. And last week, I picked Linvala, Keeper of Silence. And this time I will pick Stony Silence for one and a white enchantment. Hey, you guys, are you guys using artifacts?
Yeah.
Do you?
I love artifacts.
Do you tap those artifacts or like pay mana for those artifacts to do something?
Once in a while.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, not anymore, you don't.
Dude, Mike, I would be so sad if somebody cast a Stony Silence.
Oh, yeah, with your Kozilek deck.
Yeah. As it turns out, a lot of the colors cards are artifacts.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Activated abilities of artifacts, they can't be activated. Hey, if you got triggered abilities, they still work. Go ahead. That's fine. I'll just play a Torpor Orb.
Why, Adam,
anyway?
Why did you do this in the same year as an artifact block?
I don't know how long ago, like 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes ago, I talked about how master sets didn't really have to hold themselves to standard sets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There's your answer. Yeah. Probably wouldn't
those other sets.
Put Stony Silence in an artifact set. That would kind of take away the whole point of things.
No, you just put Consulate Crackdown in there instead.
Yeah, but you can kill that one. And it costs like two and a half times as much mana.
Oh, man.
Man, that's too much in a commander game.
I ain't got time for that.
That's great. Mm. Yeah, so you put this, well, I'm not saying it was influenced, but you put this in the set and it's sort of like, is Affinity experiencing a resurgence? Boom.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Wow.
Oh, I figured out how you can get a 10-10. I'm looking through Gather here. And there's just a star. There's Wayfaring Temple.
Oh, yes.
Just have 10 creatures. That's easy.
It is.
Yeah.
I was thinking like Blood Rushing Rubber Belt Maka on Gristlebrand. That's one way to do it.
What a set. I just drafted Conspiracy 2 for the first time ever.
Oh man, that's a nice set. I had a lot of fun with that set.
Well, Adam, thank you for coming onto our meager podcast and talking with us.
Yeah,
I think you guys sell yourself short. I got one word to describe you guys' podcast. It would not be meager.
All right.
I haven't decided what it is, so don't put me on the spot. I know it's not meager. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we are not meager. We could be a lot of other things. Thank you for hanging out with us, everyone. Without your support, this episode would not have happened. If you want to support the podcast, head over to patreon.com/commanderinmtg. And maybe give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That's cool, too. We love talking to our listeners. We are incredibly grateful to all the patrons, like Ben Fogarty, Logan Ferry, Kevin Farr. And as a reminder, Sean is trying to fly to America to join us in GP Vegas. He has a GoFundMe, and Sean will beg us. He'll beg you. He'll beg everyone for donations.
This is Sean begging for stuff by proxy.
Mm-hmm. So come playtest with us. If you donate $10 or more per episode, come join the patron chat we host over on Facebook. I did the theme song.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who's editing this. Our videos are created by Hunter Pruitt and Bradamog Heron. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto at mrpicto.co.uk with assistance from Kelly DeLuca. Special thanks to Tech Wizzes, Jesse Thompson, and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. You can reach us by going to our website, commanderinmtg.com. Our email is cast@commanderinmtg.com. Find us on all the social media by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast.
Indeed.
Individually on Twitter, I'm at Mr. Plorg.
I'm at Ketjack.
Adam, where the heck are you?
I am at Adam underscore Prosak, Prosak, on the Twitters.
Mm-hmm.
On the Twitters. And Adam, would you like to take us out?
All right. Thanks for listening. I had a great time. Thanks for Phil and Nate for hosting. And until next time, this is Adam Prosak.
Mm-hmm. Until the future.